So what is it that we will remember? What is it that we might learn from Easter 2017? And how is it that God might allow this Easter to be one that you can truly celebrate? I don't know about you, but for me, I continue to learn so much from children. In fact, they are a continual source of education and learning and remembering for me. For example, one of our late night talk show hosts was interviewing children this last week and asking them about Easter and what Easter was all about. And one of the little children said, well, Easter is that day when Jesus came out of the tomb. And he asked the child, well, what did Jesus do then? And he said, well, of course, the first thing he did was make the Easter bunny. You know, I don't know if you knew that or not. And so he asked another child, he said, well, what does Easter mean to you? And what did Jesus do when he came out of the tomb? And the kid starts doing his happy dance. He was just, this is what he did. And I hope nobody's videotaping this, because what the kid did was a whole lot better than what you just saw. What was really kind of sad about that was that very few of the children really knew what Easter was all about. That's why I was so glad when one of our neighbors, who's a member of Good Shepherd, was going past our house this week. Shay and I were out in the yard doing some yard work, and they came strolling by, and they stopped in, and we started talking, and then she had her little child, who was not quite yet two, in the stroller, and she said, tell Pastor Gary what happened on Good Friday. And the little child, not quite yet two, said, Jesus died. And then she said, well, tell Pastor Gary how we feel about that. And the little child said, uh-oh. And then she continued by saying, now tell Pastor Gary what happened on Easter. And this little child, not quite yet two, said, Jesus rose. And how do we feel about that? And the little child, not quite yet two, said, yippee. So that story kind of reminded me about a story that I had heard from one of our Naperville moms. She's a member of this church, and it actually happened a while ago. She had three young children, and on this particular day, it was the 10th anniversary of the passing of her mom. And so she was in a rather melancholy mood. It was a reflective, sad day for her. She happened to mention that to her little children at breakfast that day. And she had lots of errands to do, so she got them all into the car, strapped them in, put them in their car seats, and strapped them all in. And then she was driving down 75th Street, and as she was driving, she heard this shriek from the back seat. Now, a rookie mom might have hit the brakes and caused a chain reaction car accident, but this was a veteran mom with three young ones in the back, and she gradually slowed the car and then looked in the mirror and said, what just happened? And the little child, the oldest of the three, said, I get it. And the mom was going, okay, is it her turn for a particular toy? Is that what she wants to get? What she said, no, mom, I get it. And so the mom, still driving very slowly, said, what is it that you get? She said, I get it, Mom. I get it that Grandma is with us. Grandma is in our hearts. Well, apparently, it wasn't only the mom who was in a melancholy mood. The kids, at least the oldest of the three, must have been thinking about this too. So the mom just asked her, why do you say that? And she said, well, Mom, Grandma believed that Jesus rose from the dead, right? And the mom said, well, yeah, that's right. And you've told us that when Jesus rose from the dead, if we believe that when we die, we'll go and be with God, right? And Mom said, yes, that's right. And so Grandma is with God, right, Mom? And she said, yeah. And you've always told us, Mom, that God is in our hearts, right? She said, yeah. So, Mom, if Grandma is with God, and if God is in our hearts, then Grandma is in our hearts too. And, Mom, doesn't that make you feel better? some tears started to trickle down the mom's face. The faith in the risen Lord of her little daughter had brought a sudden joy to her heart, her melancholy heart. All of a sudden, she saw in the midst of her sadness a reason for profound joy because of the faith of her daughter in the risen Lord. Faith in the risen Lord has a way of doing that, transforming our melancholy hearts into moments of incredible gladness and joy. That's what we're going to celebrate today, and that's the essence of our message. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we thank you so much for the faith of little children. We thank you so much for the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, so that even when we pass from this earth, we too shall live like Jesus forever. Lord, this is a day to celebrate life. Life in the midst of death, but life eternal. Life that you promise to all who believe. And so this day, fill our hearts with your joy. No matter how melancholy our hearts may be, fill us with the joy that you desire for us this day. In your name we pray. Amen. So, yes, we have proclaimed that this is a day of celebration. This is a day when we celebrate the risen Lord, but if we're really going to understand that celebration, we need to come to grips with some questions that still linger from the cross, don't we? I mean, after all, we just observed Good Friday, and there are some questions that really need to be addressed. For example, what next? What next after the Good Friday cross? And even the empty tomb forces us to ask some questions this Easter day. Questions like, now what? Where is Jesus? Have you seen him? What has become of Jesus? And as a result, what is to become of us? Those are the questions that linger from the cross and, in fact, from the empty tomb. You know, if you think back on the biblical account of Good Friday, there is no mention in the Bible of a funeral following the death of Jesus, is there? Do you ever remember? Well, except for the fact that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus tried to get his body off the cross as quickly as they could before the Sabbath began, and Mary Magdalene and the others watched, there's really no other recording of a funeral. We at Good Shepherd have had, by my estimation, too many funerals recently, and some of them very tragic. From young to older, we have had some tragic funerals here at Good Shepherd, even just this past Holy Week. It's been kind of a tough week. In fact, last week, Pastor Greg referenced that in celebrating Palm Sunday, there was a foreshadowing of the tragedy that was to come into Jesus' life. If Jesus had had a funeral, and if there had been newspapers in those days, I suppose his obituary would have listed it in the Nazareth News. It probably would have been in the obituary section, section E, page 7. It would have been listed alphabetically right in the J section, right after Jacob and right before Joseph. That's where you'd found the listing of Jesus' obituary. The obituary may have read something like this: Jesus of Nazareth was born in 0 AD or 0 BC, take your pick. He was born to Mary and Joseph, his earthly father, the carpenter from Galilee. He was preceded in death by his father, Joseph, and survived by his mother, Mary of Capernaum. During his lifetime, he received some notoriety and some publicity because of the unusual occurrences connected to his life, such as the blind seeing, the lame walking, and also the deaf hearing. It was rumored that he actually had changed some people's lives. More recently, according to a short article in the Nazareth News, last Sunday in Jerusalem, large Passover crowds hailed him as king. Shortly thereafter, the crowds turned against him. This past Friday afternoon, he was sentenced to death by the Roman ruler Pontius Pilate. He was killed at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Golgotha Hill, the hill of crucifixion, outside the walls of Jerusalem. His burial was in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. His family requests that no flowers be sent, but rather memorials be sent to the Eternal Life Fund. If that obituary had been printed in the Nazareth News, everyone would have thought that the Jesus movement had ended, its leader now dead. His disciples had disappeared. The stories of his miracles would soon fade away. That little episode would become one small slice of Roman history, right? It would have been like a pebble thrown into a pond. It would have made a momentary splash, and the ripples gradually would fade away and just disappear. And so it was with Jesus of Nazareth, right? His life was just a momentary splash. His reputation, his memory, his teachings would have faded into the smoothness of the sea. Except for one very highly unique and unusual event. On the third day, unbelievably, they discovered that the grave, the tomb, was empty. Jesus of Nazareth had been raised from the dead by the mighty powers of God. He was alive again. He was alive again in a whole new way, a new kind of body that would never, ever die again. And so they shouted out, "He has risen. Hallelujah." The obituary was wrong. They said he was dead, but they omitted a rather important detail. They said he was dead. And yes, he was dead. But he didn't stay dead. And so they were wrong. Like the newspapers way back when that declared that Dewey had defeated Truman, they were wrong. You know, whenever I read an obituary in the paper, or even online, I know that the summary of that person's life is incomplete. After all, how can you possibly capture the total essence of a person's life in one short obituary? But in this case, the obituary of Jesus is so incomplete that it is totally misleading. You see, the answer to the questions from the empty cross and the empty tomb transform the obituary of Jesus into none other than the gospel, the good news, that each question from the empty tomb has been answered. And because Jesus is alive, because he has been found, because he is risen, so shall we all live. In other words, his tragedy has been transformed into triumph. And because of that, we can truly celebrate the Calvary story. This triumph that leads to our celebration spread from the angel to Mary, from Peter to John, to the other disciples, and to the thousands of other followers who did believe. And therefore, their tragedy was transformed into triumph, and they could celebrate. As a result, they became new people. They became a brand new kind of people who were filled with new power, with Easter power, with resurrection power. They were no longer afraid of living because they were no longer afraid of dying. They had a new passion for life because they had Easter power, a resurrection power within them. Why? Because the obituary was wrong. And because they knew that the tragedy had been transformed into triumph, and that's why they celebrated. And so can we. We have come, no doubt, for a lot of different reasons this day, to this place, this Easter 2017. In fact, if I were to survey this group gathered in this place, I could probably come up with a whole list of reasons why we are here today. But the one reason why we should all be here today is that the obituary was wrong. Jesus did not stay dead. He is alive. And as a result, we too shall live. Our tragedies, all of our tragedies, are transformed into triumph. And that is worthy of celebration. If you believe this, if you really believe this, then one day your obituary will read differently as well. It will say, because your Lord and Savior lives, you too now live. It will say that your time on earth is done, but your life in heaven is eternal. It's just beginning. I hope that my obituary, and I truly hope that it's not written anytime soon, but I hope that it will not only record all the wonderful things I have done and the wonderful things that people will say about me, that part I plan to write myself. Mostly what I hope is that in addition to whatever details may be necessary, it records that while my life on earth, which I enjoyed and lived to the fullest, is now completed, life is eternal. Life is forever. And the celebration is just now beginning. You see, when God transforms our tragedies into triumph, we all have reason to celebrate the risen Christ. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we thank you for the resurrection. We thank you for transforming the tragedy of Good Friday into the triumph of Easter Sunday. We thank you that as a result that you have risen from the dead, that you transform all of our tragedies, all of our tragedies, into triumph, so that we too will celebrate eternally. In your name we pray. Amen.